Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
She was definitely talking about Tay because the more she was telling her story, she was saying the girl was beautiful.
A beautiful woman. A sexy woman.
And I was like, well, most side bitches ain't even as good looking as the main girl. She was like, no. This one was beautiful.
And she was a beautiful girl.
So then Tay is like, I don't care who Paul talks to, but can he talk to a beautiful girl?
The man seeing a beautiful woman.
And I was like, okay, you know what, bitch.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino. Today we're going to be talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Real Housewives of New Jersey. But first, I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in the world of pop culture. I thought this was kind of a quiet week for Housewives. I didn't find either episode very thrilling, although there were moments. There were definitely moments. So I just want to mention a few things that are going on in the world of pop culture. First and foremost, our queen icon legend Jessica Simpson has revealed via People magazine a very dark history in terms of her childhood. She had some abuse, consequently leading to some alcohol and pill issues as an adult. It all is revealed in an excerpt from her book. It's coming out in February called Open Book. And I'm so excited to read this book. This is going to be like a book club book for all of us. I cannot wait. Apparently in the book, she talks about newlyweds. She talks about Nick. And she goes into her childhood, which is very disheartening, and it's very sad to hear that she's been going through so much. So I'm rooting for Jessica. As always, of course, you guys know I love her. Hashtag Jessica Thursdays, nothing better. It's funny, too. I've been trying to get a signed copy of the book, and Target.com was offering signed copies, but apparently they only allotted like so many copies per state. So I was like trying to order one and it wouldn't let me order one. And I was getting so frustrated. Then finally I had to order one to my parents' house in Ohio, which is like so lame of me. I like had to tell my mom, I was like, Mom, if a Jessica Simpson book comes, she's like, Dan, why'd you order it to the house here? And I said, well, you know, there's only so many per state. And she's like, oh, so you got one of the Ohio ones, huh? Maybe you should move back. My big hotshot Hollywood son can't get a book delivered there. Maybe you need to move back to Northeast Ohio. So she's going to have to send me the book. But I was like trying to get one, and I even posted on my Instagram account. And then somebody from Jessica Simpson's company reached out to me. So I might even be getting one. I might be getting two signed copies because I have one being delivered in Ohio. And then I have potentially one coming directly from Jess. From what I understand, somebody reached out who works on her fashion brand and said that they love my Jessica Thursdays. I was so over the moon excited. And who knows, I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm very excited to read this book. I think there's going to be some juicy details. The press release, by the way, it said like Jessica's first book. And I was like, wait a minute, I have Jessica's first book. She had a wedding book. I don't know if many people remember, but she had another book. She came out with a book. She did book signings and all in the early aughts. And then now they're pretending like that book wasn't a thing. Well, guess what? I have it on my bookshelf. So it was a thing, and we will not have this Jessica Simpson erasure happening on my watch. Certainly not on my watch. Anyway, I cannot wait to read this book, and I hope to God that they get me that copy sooner than later. I need to read it. And the one that's being delivered in Ohio, I'm like so concerned about because it's going to be delivered there, and then I have to wait for them to ship it. You know, my mom's going to ship a regular mail or something. It's going to take 5 days. It's going to be a nightmare waiting. I'm going to have to order another copy. I might be getting multiple copies of this book. And then, as if that wasn't enough, I'm going to be spending hundreds of dollars on this book. As if that wasn't enough, I hear that the audiobook or some other form of this book is going to include songs. She's doing songs. She did like 5 songs or something that's going to be released with the book, which is a new thing for me. I can't imagine just releasing songs with the book, but I'm into it, and I'm excited that she's back in the recording studio, and I can't wait to hear that baby whisper voice singing to me. I cannot wait. I need the audiobook, too, and I need these songs. I don't know what the songs are going to be, if she's going to be doing country, Of course, remember her last album, that country album, excluding the holiday album, that country album she did, she said she was never going back to pop. I remember seeing her on The View, and she said she's not going back to pop music because her heart was in country. So now, is she back to pop music? What are these songs that are being released with the book? Are they going to be dramatic ballads? You know I love a Jay Simpson ballad. And she sings that, take my path away. Or I love when she says, I'm loving angels instead. I love it. I cannot wait. Unfortunately, there's not a duet with Ashley on these upcoming songs with the book, but maybe we can get her back in the recording studio. We could get her to do a little ditty with Ashley. Let's get Ash involved. And quite frankly, I'm going to need a new book with Ashley Simpson. I'm going to need her to follow closely from Jess. We could call it Open Book 2. I don't know. I need a tell-all from Ashley, too. I need the whole gang. I need one from Tina, one from Joe, one from anyone who's involved. Casey, BFF Casey, we need some more information. So that's what's going on with our dear Jess. Now, also, Brad and Jen have been in the news. I got very excited about that photo, of course, that was going around the internet. I posted on my Instagram, it was like they ran into each other at the SAG Awards and they had a little moment, but then I saw the video of it and it wasn't really a moment. They were just sort of like passing each other backstage. But I do think that it's interesting that they're running into each other. And I do believe that they have some sort of friendship or understanding, but I don't actually think that they'll get back together. I feel like there's no shot of it. I think we're all just sort of loving the distraction, right? So many dark things are going on in the world. It's nice sometimes to have something like that that we can attach ourselves to and get excited about that is not world news or U.S. politics, that kind of thing. So I found it very exciting, but I don't actually think they'll get back together. I think Jen, how could she? He cheated on her and had kids with the woman he cheated on her with. So I don't believe it. I do feel bad, though, for the kids that he had with Angelina, because imagine they're, like, on the internet, and all they see, there was, like, a full, like, 3 days where all anyone, it's still to this day, people are only talking about this Brad and Jen photo and them running into each other, and are they going to get back together? And I think that would be so hard to see, like, my dad on the cover, not that Gary would ever be on the cover of Us Weekly, but you know, hypothetically speaking, to see my dad on the cover of all these magazines and everywhere on the internet with his ex-wife, that would just be so bizarre to see. With his ex-wife, who's not your mother. And then Angelina's probably foaming at the mouth. She's probably so fucking pissed. Do you imagine? Just seeing all that stuff with Jen. But I love Jen Ann. Ugh, I love her. Love her so much, Queen Icon Legend. Morning Show, I thought she was fantastic in. And I got a lot of flack. I said online that Reese was miscast on Morning Show. And I love Reese. I feel like I shade her a lot, but I don't mean to. I really love Reese, but that role shouldn't have been for Reese. It should have been for a young ingenue. It was weird to me, but you know, Reese is fantastic and she produced it so she could do whatever the fuck she wants. She could do whatever the fuck she wants. Okay, so should we talk about Real Houses of Atlanta? Now, the episode was called A Hairy Situation, which just made me laugh. I like sometimes when I check out the episode titles, you know, when you go to the description, it's just A Hairy Situation. And I love all the wig drama. I do really love the wig drama. I do think we were reaching a little bit, but I'm excited about it. Last week on the show, Kenya proposed this information to the group about Tanya, you know, the cookie woman and the cookie lady. And Kenya was like hyping up this cookie lady. Like you would have thought Kenya was the hype person for the cookie lady because she was talking about her like she was the most beautiful, stunning person in the entire universe. And not to say that she wasn't a beautiful gal, but she was like really going hard to present this cookie lady as the next Miss America. And I don't think she was all that much, but I think that Kenya just wants to feud with Tanya, I'm sorry. And so Kenya told the group about this information and kind of alluded to it in front of Tanya. So anyway, this week we open on Eva. Her kids are adorable. Let me just say that up front. Eva maybe has like the cutest kids of all time. Like they're adorable. I love watching them. But seeing Eva at her house, like slouched over, I know she's pregnant. The house didn't feel, and I want to be careful with this. It seemed like a beautiful house. I would love to live in a house like that. But it's not necessarily aspirational to me. And that is troublesome in my housewives. Like I don't need them to be super wealthy. But do you remember when we would take a little moment at Leanne's house on The Real Houses of Dallas. And it felt like, what are we doing here? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I need to be inside of a house that feels aspirational on The Housewives. If I'm watching Vanderpump Rules, I'm fine to be in a house with a window air conditioner unit. Or if I'm watching Summer House, I'm fine if they go somewhere that's a little bit janky. But when I'm watching The Real Housewives, I can't have someone just being like slouched over on the couch and there's shit everywhere. It just looks like an average house, but it doesn't feel aspirational to me. And that's no fun. That's no fun. And then Eva's talking about working all these jobs. And I wondered, is she, I know she does Dish Nation and she does Real Housewives of Atlanta. I guess that's enough. But it's revealed that one of her kids doesn't know that Mike is her dad. And so this is a storyline that's playing out. And forgive me, but I don't know why I'm having trouble attaching myself to Eva. And I wonder if you guys are having the same problem. I can't get on board. And that storyline I was thinking about, I'm like, that seems like something that is interesting and compelling, but it wasn't doing anything for me. Then we cut to the spa, which was a spa that we've been to 6 years ago. It's amazing when we think of how many years we've been with these women. They flash back to 6 years ago, and I was like, oh my God, that was 6 years ago? What? Where did the time go? But Candy and Portia, they're at the spa with Tanya and Marlo. I love that the spa just let them film again. They shaded it again. Like, they said it looked like Orange is the New Black, and they were, like, talking about it. And then I remember they did that in the past, the first time they were there. And then the first time they went, they were, like, fighting and stuff. It's just hysterical to me that the spa was like, yeah, come back. Come back out in. Doesn't matter that you annoyed customers the first time. Come back on in. So they let them back in there. And when they were talking about it being like Orange is the New Black, they did a flashback to Portia's mugshot. And I truly believe that Portia's mugshot is one of the most beautiful photos of her. She looks fantastic. And she's also giving off a don't fuck with me attitude. She's like, don't you fuck with me. But in like a beautiful way. Honestly, like if that was me, I'd use it as my headshot. Portia should release it in the wild and use it as like her Instagram photo, her social media handle photo. I think it's a beautiful photo. Her hair looks fantastic. She's serving in it. She's not giving too much of a smile, but there's like a little bit of a smirk. I really think everyone should look at that mugshot and study it, because we never know when we're going to get arrested. Who knows? I mean, I don't think I ever will, and I hope I never will, but at some point you have to be ready for it. And so I think it's important to look at that mugshot and say, okay, how would I do it? What would I do? And I pray again that I never have to have a mugshot. And I don't think I do anything illegal. I hope I don't do anything illegal. Although, do you ever go, like, when you're at the airport and you're going through security or something, and you're like, holy fuck, like, I hope I don't have, I don't know, cocaine in my bag. Never done cocaine in my life. But, you know, you think that, all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I hope I didn't, you know, bring anything that's illegal. Anyway, I just hope everyone's prepared for their mugshot. You never know when it's going to hit. You never know what's going to happen. But she looked amazing. The spa looks fun, too. There's a Korean spa that looks very similar that I go to here in LA, and it's just great. Cheap treatments. Fantastic. Anyway, they all know that Tanya is who Kenya's talking about. And by the way, I love Tanya's Canadian accent. Every time she says a boot, I know it can use a boot. I love it. She's such a breath of fresh air this season. I love Tanya. I'm obsessed with her right now. I'm obsessed with this cookie lady they keep talking about. Now then, Tanya says she's got something on Kenya. And then apparently, Kenya had like left a package in Canada when they were on the girls' trip. And Kenya asked Tanya if she could bring it back with them. Now, Tanya, of course, knew that she was crossing country lines. And so she opened the package because she didn't... I feel like I'm slipping into Tanya's accent. But she opened the package just to confirm what was in it. She wanted to make sure she was safe. Of course, that goes back to like the airport conversation. You know, you want to make sure you don't have anything illegal with you. And I would have done that too. I think that was okay. Ordinarily, I'd say that was messy, but that made sense to me. Apparently, though, there was just like a wig and a phone charger. And Kenya brags all the time about having real hair, but this was a wig. And then the Bravo editors, they're doing so much, you guys. We have to applaud them. I feel like we applaud them every week, but we have to especially applaud them this week because the Bravo editors showed a montage of Kenya saying that her hair is not a wig. And it was just beautiful. It's just beautiful. But we saw the wig then, and it didn't look like Kenya's. And then it was revealed that it was just like something that she put on, then put her hair like over it or something. But I'm very into this drama. This is the kind of drama that I love on Housewives. It reminds me similarly of, like, remember on The Real Housewives of Orange County when I think, like, Shannon took Heather's chair at a restaurant, or there was, like, chair drama? Like, I live for that. Or do you remember on The Real Housewives of Orange County when that Sarah girl bit the bow off of Heather's cake?
Terry, Tamara, and Vicky.
What? I didn't do anything.
What?
I'm sorry, but that girl Sarah broke the bow off my cake and ate it.
Kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Who does that?
Ah, I love that moment so much. Never forget. Anyway, then we cut to Portia and Portia's sister Lauren with Miss Diane. Portia's engaged again, which is troublesome. She was just on Watch What Happens Live. And it seems like she is not really in love with this Dennis. And I think something else happened. I'm not sure if it was another cheating scandal or something. But when I watched her on Watch What Happens Live, I thought something else happened. And I think the blogs were talking about maybe a new cheating scandal or something. Forgive me. Don't take that as fact because I don't know exactly what happened. But either way, on Watch What Happens Live, it seemed like she was saying, pray for us and pray for my relationship with Dennis. And I don't know. It didn't feel very strong. It didn't feel like she had a good relationship with him. And that worries me. And I want Portia the best for her. I want her to have the best man ever. And this Dennis is not it. It's not him. But you guys, you know who is it? Miss Diane. I love her so much. I think she's phenomenal looking, and I love her personality. And she revealed this episode that a lot of men are after her. And what a queen. What a queen. Miss Diane, two snaps for you. Two snaps for you. Anyway, then we cut to Kenya and Cynthia and Candy at brunch. Kenya's rude to the waiters, you guys. There, I said it. She's rude to a lot of the waiters. She's just talking to them however she wants. And I don't like when somebody's rude to a waiter or a server or a bartender. You can tell someone the kind of personality they are by how they treat someone at a restaurant. You ever go to dinner with friends and they're like rude to a waiter or something? I cannot stand it. It's like it irks at me when I see someone just being rude to a wait staff. Ugh. And tip them well, because they're not making much money. But I can't stand it. And I noticed this is maybe the second, third, fourth time that Kenya's done this. She was kind of rude, and it was a little bit playful, but she was being rude about the crab cakes. And I thought, you know what, Kenya? Just take the crab cakes and be happy with them. Just, I don't need you being rude to this waiter. This poor guy came in for a shift, and then, you know, he just probably didn't even know what Real Hustlers is. He might not even know. You know, those straight guys are dumb. They might not know. He might not even know, and he just showed up for a shift. He's probably didn't even want to come into work. And they're like, you know, will you mind filming? I don't think he gets paid. He's just going to come on camera and get their order. And he's not camera ready. It's not like he had his foundation on. Maybe he did, but it didn't appear as though he was makeup ready. And then he had to get in front of the camera and he's being talked down upon by one of these Real Housewives. They're like, what the fuck's going on? In the words of Dorinda Medley, what the fuck's going on?
I would never shame you. I would invite you to my house and say, what the fuck's going on?
Remember when she was in Cartagena? What the fuck's going on? Anyway, she was rude. This is sort of a boring episode. I mentioned that earlier. And here's the thing that I found out. The episode before the mid-season trailer. So this episode at the end, at the end of this episode, we got the mid-season trailer. So we got that big trailer that says still to come on this season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. We got the mid-season trailer. And usually, almost always, the episode before the mid-season trailer is very boring. It's usually very boring. And this is no exception. And I, again, I wish I didn't know that, because now when I know the mid-season trailer is coming, I think, ugh, we're in for a very boring episode. There's certain things that Bravo does. They train us well. Anyway, Kenya says that they talk a little bit about the wig at this brunch. And Kenya says that she just put on the wig for the festival. Kenya's definitely starting to turn on Tanya even more so. And this was when Kenya kept talking about the cookie lady being so hot. Then we cut to the pizza party for Eva's daughter, Marley. And I'll tell you what, I stan Marley. I like this Marley. I love a good pizza party. And sometimes on The Housewives, the women get a lot of flack for having pizza parties for their kids. But I'll tell you what, The kids should always have a pizza party. All you need is cake, maybe some ice cream and pizza. And that's good for your children's birthday party. And the adults should be happy with that. I'm happy as a clam if I go to someone's house and they have a big old pizza and some cake. Oh, man, invite me to that party. I don't want to go to these parties where they got all the fancy hors d'oeuvres. I just need some good pizza. And I like when you go to a birthday party and it's cut in squares. That's what I really love. Because then I feel like people can't keep as easily track of how much pizza you're eating. Because when they have like the regular slices, like the big triangles, I feel like people can really clock how much you're eating. But with the squares, they're kind of small. And so you could put maybe two on your plate and then go back to two. And people aren't quite sure if those are like new two pieces, or even you can hide them like under some lettuce. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if they have a little side salad, you get a plate, you put two pieces of square pieces on your plate, and then you put a third, but over that third, you put on some lettuce. So people think you just have two pieces and some lettuce. You can't do that with some triangle slices, but you can do that when it's square cut. And so then people don't know, and you don't feel as bad, because you know at those parties, sometimes you think, oh, what if they ran out of pizza? I don't want to be the one who took three slices when everyone else took two or one. And so the square really alleviates a lot of that anxiety that I typically feel at parties when it's a triangle cut. So anyway, I love when I go to a house and then when they have a nice cake, I don't need a fancy cake. I just need a yellow cake with, I like a yellow cake with either buttercream or chocolate frosting. My favorite cake in the world is just like a traditional boxed yellow cake with chocolate frosting. Every year for my birthday, I tell Matt, or I tell my parents, or whoever it is that's around me, I say, that's all I want. I just want a big yellow cake. And I always say for my birthday, I want to not have to share it with anyone, which makes me sound terrible. But I like the idea of people can eat some, but I just want to be able to eat out of it with a fork. Like, I don't want to have to put my slice on a cake, on a plate. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is, we cut to Portia. Well, so Marley had this party. Marley had the party, and it was fun. The kids were there. It was cute. Then we cut to Portia at home with Dennis. Portia was looking beautiful. And so was PJ. I'm obsessed with PJ. But I was thinking about PJ, and I was thinking about how hard of a time she's going to have when she's an adult, or when she gets to the point in life when she could go on the internet. Because she's going to find clips, or she's going to be watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and she's going to see Mommy and Daddy. And there's going to be a bestiality storyline that's presented to her. And I find that to be very troubling for this young PJ, because eventually she's going to see it. And it's like they keep referencing Dennis's into animals. And I feel gross even saying that. And I don't want to harp on it, but it's like they keep presenting it to us in little nuggets or little tiny ways. And it makes me feel uncomfortable. But Portia's sister and her mom, Diane, arrive. Dennis's mom arrives. And they have like a family meeting about the relationship. Dennis says he couldn't talk to PJ except for on an iPad when they were taking their little break, when Dennis and Portia had their break. Apparently, Portia would only let him talk to Dennis, or Portia would only let PJ talk to Dennis on the iPad. And Portia's like, what's wrong with that? It's an iPad. I love an iPad. Portia's funny. She's a gem. She's the star of the show, if you ask me. I love Portia. But anyway, Portia explains to him. She's like, look, it's your fault that you couldn't talk to the daughter normally. Like, you're the one who did this to our family. And then Portia's mad at Dennis's mom because Dennis's mom has been sticking up for Dennis. They eventually all make up. That's the end of the episode. We get that mid-season trailer, which features Todd being troublesome. You know, I've turned on Todd this season, and I've been really back in Candy. I was kind of over Candy last season, and now I'm back on board with Candy Burris. But Todd's being annoying with her, and Todd like doesn't want her to act in something. Very interesting. I'm excited to see that play out. Then we have Kenya versus Nene, and it's been alleged that Kenya or Nene like motions that she might spit on Kenya or something. And we saw a little clip of it in the mid-season trailer. I think that'll be the finale episode, but I am excited to see it. Although, you guys, it is unacceptable to spit on anyone, especially if you're a coworker. Like the. I would be livid if I joined a reality show. And Kenya's not innocent because, of course, I think Kenya pushes buttons. But you can't just spit on a coworker. Like, that is completely unacceptable. And I don't think, by the way, Nene does actually spit on her. But she goes to do it. And on Twitter, Nene said that she wishes she would have or something along those lines. And you can't do that. I don't know why I should have to say that on air. But you shouldn't. You can't do that. You just can't do it.
Icons,
If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic.
She's a saver.
Winning
She's
what?
Very smart. She's not about the show. In the long run, you watch whose children are set up nice
set
in,
up for
in 30 years. We're the losers. She's winning.
But how do you put me in that? Like, what?
I'm not.
Why do you put her?
Why don't you shut up? Are you saying my kids are not going to be successful in 30 years?
Bitch, what are you talking about?
You're left.
First of all, don't call me a bitch.
Well, what do you mean?
Bitch, don't call me a bitch.
What do you mean?
I'll take two steps back and take a breather.
Hello? Hello? What? Hello?
Shall we move on to New Jersey? We opened this week in the Hamptons. We're at Jackie's house. You'll remember at the end of last week, everyone had arrived, and there was this tension between Teresa and Margaret. Again, I think it's made up. I don't think they actually have a feud. I think they're just kind of feuding for camera. And we're all pretending that this is like a big thing. And even Melissa was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm here on a vacation. She's like freaking out. And then also Melissa was doing like some very bizarre prop comedy work. Like she was Carrot Top. Did you notice her with that wine opener? She's like, I need some wine. This is stressful. I need a bottle of wine. I need to get it for me right now. Where's the wine? I'm going to open it and drink it because I'm too stressed. This is supposed to be my vacation. She's like losing it. And then she's open in the wine thing and like doing like a bit with the wine opener. I don't know, you guys. They were all attaching themselves to this feud. Meanwhile, Margaret is telling Teresa, she's like, I didn't invite you to the drag brunch, but I brought you a gift bag. Who doesn't like gift bags? And then it's revealed that Jackie has gift bags for everyone in this house. And I just want to say I love a gift bag. I do love a gift bag. Jackie reveals that it costs $80,000 to upkeep that house, but she makes about $100,000 in rent for the year, so she makes like $20,000 on that house. That's a good real estate investment. Good for her. Anyway, they talk a little bit more about the Teresa-Margaret fight, and the whole cast literally treats Danielle or talks about Danielle as if she's just like nuts, as if she's a cartoon villain. And I'm not saying she's not, I'm just saying it's so funny, like everyone in the cast is like, Teresa, Danielle's fucking crazy. Why don't you understand that? And then Teresa's like, well, she didn't do anything to me. And they're all like, well, yes, she did. And then they keep flashing back. Every episode, they flash back to that table flip. which is an exciting table flip, but they're doing it a lot. And maybe we need to scale back. Maybe we need to scale back. But Margaret and Teresa, they talk it out. Teresa didn't know who Charles Manson was. Margaret tried to make a Charles Manson analogy. And Teresa, who's that? And then meanwhile, Dolores is just in the back, just supported. Dolores, I'm like obsessed with Dolores right now because her entire role, as I've said last week on the show, her entire role is just to like talk about how Teresa's feeling. And then she also does this thing every single episode. She's like, well, we're old school Italian. We're old school family values. We're old school. We're not the... And it's like, Dolores, every single time she's on screen, says the same three things. She has three things. That Teresa's not going to like this. She's like, we're old school. Or she says, this is going to be World War III. Like, those are the three things that Dolores says on the show. I love it. I love it. Anyway, Teresa storms off because Margaret can't get through to her. But Dolores says to Teresa, I'm glad you walked away before it got worse. There's Dolores just hyping up the fights. She's a hype woman. But the women all share these tiny rooms at this. Again, this house is beautiful. But it is funny to me that these women who are grown adults are sharing these tiny rooms. It was like twin beds or full-size beds. And look, I'm not as wealthy as any of these women. Any of them. But I still, if I was going on vacation, I wouldn't want to share a tiny twin bed. Like that one room that Jennifer was in. Jennifer's like unpacking all these like Chanel outfits in this very tiny room. And I don't know if it just looked tiny because they was filled with production people or something, but it looked very small, like very, very small. And the fact that somebody, they have to share with each other, and you know, they're rich. And ordinarily, Jennifer would just go get a hotel room somewhere. But on these shows, they're like forced to stay at the house. Like they would never do that. But Jennifer was just unpacking all this, these clothes that were so expensive in this little tiny twin bed room. Made me laugh. Meanwhile, Frankie Jr. FaceTimed Dolores and he was shirtless. And I just loved it. It was a great scene. I love to see Frankie Jr. shirtless. More of that, please. And you know, Dolores texted him and was like, I'm going to call you on camera. And so take off your top. Like, take off your blouse. We're going to be filming this. You know, Dolores has got to keep that paycheck. And part of, I think, why Dolores is still around, and I feel like I'm talking so much shit about Dolores and I like her, but I think a lot of the reason why Dolores is still around is because we like Frankie Jr. He's good to look at. He's pretty to look at. So she's not stupid. Dolores is a very intelligent woman. You know, she knows that he's part of the meal ticket, right? Like, she's like, hey, Frankie, take off the blouse. We're going to be filming. Whatever you got to do to get that off of him is great with me. And so I do like that. We're FaceTiming him topless. We're doing whatever you got to do. And Dolores is earning that paycheck. She is. Then we cut to all the women. They're getting ready to go out. They all look great. Teresa's wearing this neon that I just thought looked fantastic. They do some tequila shots. And on the way to the restaurant, it was so funny. There were two cars. Teresa was with, I forget who Teresa was with, but she was trying to tell a quote about her life. And she couldn't remember it, so she literally had to call Dolores in the other car to ask. And at this point, I'm thinking, Dolores is just Teresa's producer. You know, these women usually have like a point producer, I believe. Forgive me if you work for the shows and I'm getting this a little bit wrong. But from what I understand, the women on these shows, they have their producer. So, for instance, Teresa probably has a point person that's a producer on the show that is like her main producer. And at this point, I think that's Dolores because she's just calling Dolores like, what's that quote? And then Dolores has got to tell her. Dolores' whole job on the show is to back up Teresa. And I'm like, is she just a PA right now? Like, what is going on with Dolores? Then we cut to dinner. Joe Giudice called at dinner, and at first I didn't believe he was on the phone. I was like looking at the phone, it didn't seem like a real thing, and I feel like it was added in post or something, because Teresa was like pretending to be on the phone with him, and it felt like bad acting to me. And that's happening a lot on these shows, and I'm very frustrated by it, but I feel like we're getting a lot of bad acting scenes, and I don't know if it's just like what they call pickup shots, which is where they have to reshoot scenes because they missed some lighting or there was an issue with sound or something like that. But I am finding that we're getting a lot of these scenes on all the shows that are kind of actory, and none of them are good actors. So I'm not buying any of it. But this moment where Teresa was pretending to be on the phone, I didn't buy it. But then we did hear a little bit of it, so that was good. Joe asked Dolores if she could introduce Teresa to a doctor, which was interesting to me. And Dolores was like, no, no. But I wouldn't mind seeing that storyline. I want Teresa to just find someone good. Then at this dinner after the phone call, Margaret and Teresa officially make up. Then they talk about Teresa. Teresa insinuates she might get a divorce. The women talk about prenups. Jackie says she signed a prenup. And then Jennifer goes on this tirade about Jackie's finances. And it's a lot. Jackie asks about stocks, and she's asking so many questions. And Jackie's rich, and Margaret is getting frustrated by all these questions. Margaret eventually says, I'm going to tell Jackie to read her fucking bank statement so Jennifer stops. I love Margaret. That one scene, I don't remember if it already happened, but that one scene where Margaret was just like in the head. She's always in a towel wrap. She's always fresh out of the shower. And I love that she just is always on camera, just fresh out of the shower with a towel, her hair wrapped in a towel and a robe on. You know, she's got a taste for luxury. In the words of Sony Morgan, Margaret's got a taste for luxury and luxury's got a taste for her. But she is always in that robe and I like it. I like it. But so Jennifer's just going on and on about the finances. Then the next day, we see Melissa makes breakfast. This breakfast scene, that's when Dolores is doing that same thing. Jackie does not come from an old school mentality, but I like her anyway. It's like, we get it, Dolores. Anyway, Melissa says that Jennifer is like a Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I think that's spot on. I think it's spot on. And then Melissa makes this huge big breakfast and Jackie eats puff quinoa chips for breakfast. And Margaret worries about the eating disorder, and it is hard to watch. And I've said before how much I love seeing it because I think it's important for us to see these things. But that doesn't mean it's any less hard to see her doing these little things, which is what people do when they're in the throes of an eating disorder. Anyway, I do think that this was the moment in the episode where I thought, we kind of need Danielle. Like, don't we? We kind of need her. I'll be honest. And I think if we don't have Danielle back, because of course Danielle, quote unquote, announced she's leaving. I think if we don't have her back, we need someone else that's messy, because I'm feeling like we're missing a messy presence. And I notice when they're all together, they get in these fights, but they're kind of like a little bit boring without Danielle. Or maybe the fights with Danielle are just so dynamic that I find the other ones boring. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure. But then we cut to the cast talking about how Joe Giudice talks to Teresa, and they are all saying like Teresa should move on because, you know, she's not going to take his shit anymore. If he comes back, she's not going to take the way he talks to her anymore. And they show us this montage of him telling her to shut up and calling her the C word and all of these horrific things. And it was a good reminder that I hate Joe. It was a real good, clear reminder of like, oh, I hate this guy. Because I feel like ever since he joined Instagram, Joe Giudice, he's kind of had this like cuddly presence or something, or he's presented himself in this like newfound way that people are really vibing with him. And it was a good reminder, like, no, he's been a real a-hole to Teresa, and I don't like that. And maybe he's changed at first time in the clink, but do they call it the clink? Is jail the clink or is prison the clink? I'm not sure, but the point is he was in the clink. He clinked in the clink, and he just said really horrible things. And Dolores, meanwhile, was like excusing it. She said something like, "If that's just the way people talk when you're old school." She said, "If I had a dollar for every time I was called the C word," she's like, "I'd be rich." And it's like, that's not a good thing, Dolores. I'm glad Dolores is seemingly learning a little bit that it's not okay for anyone to talk to anyone like that. Anyway, eventually the women all go shopping. They split up and Margaret shops with Jennifer. And then the other women shop, and Margaret and Jennifer talk about this birthday party that Jackie had thrown for the kids. And Jennifer gets really upset that the birthday party for the kids was a pizza party. Again, you know how much I love a pizza party. But Jackie is shading it, or I'm sorry, Jennifer is shading this birthday party and saying that they should have had more food for adults. And then Jennifer reveals, which we saw the footage, and I think we even saw it a few weeks ago, but we saw the footage again of Jackie and those gift bags at the children's birthday party. And this, I did have a little bit of a, like, it did make me cringe a little bit when Jackie pulled out those Amazon boxes and told the kids to grab a gift bag. I don't know why that made me cringe. And I don't want to. I feel snotty of me to cringe about that. But I did sort of side with Jennifer about that one. Not the other stuff that Jennifer was upset about, but I did side with her about those gift bags in the Amazon box. I just thought to myself, you know what, maybe Jackie, just take them out of the Amazon box. It's fine to throw them on the driveway or something and tell them to grab them. Something about that Amazon box. Maybe it's because at my house all the time, I have at least 10 Amazon boxes at any given moment. Just like, because I'm always waiting to take it out to the recycling, you know, but they just like pile up. And it's really something that I need to look inward about because I always have these Amazon boxes. But when I saw them on the driveway and hers just throw them out there and say, grab something, I got chills. And they were multiplying. Like in the words of John Travolta in his least heterosexual role in Greece, he said, his chills are multiplying, and so were mine. So were mine. Anyway, they get in this fight at lunch, and it was an exciting fight. And then all of a sudden, Melissa and Jennifer started fighting. It was very exciting. Then we got it to be continued, and I was upset about it. I need more. I don't like when they do this to us. Don't leave us on a cliffhanger. We just had a cliffhanger with the Danielle fight. Now, don't do that to us again. Don't do that shit. In the words of Dorinda Medley, don't do that shit. Back that shit up. Back that shit up and show us the whole thing. I was upset. That's the episode, though, you guys. That was it. I didn't think either of the episodes this week were all that exciting, and I hate that I didn't, but it's just the way it is. But we did have some very thrilling weeks previously with all the fighting going on, and so, you know, we're bound to have a couple boring weeks. It is what it is. Anyway, thank you all so much for coming on this journey with me. Thank you all. If you want to get tickets to the live show, again, just a handful are left for San Francisco, Chicago, and Dallas. The other cities are all completely sold out. So if you want to get those tickets, go to everythingiconic.com. At the top of the page, there's a link for live shows. You can also look in the episode description. There's a link to get tickets to the live shows. Again, just a very small handful left. I can't wait for them. I'm very excited. And then what else? Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino, Twitter and Instagram. If you want one of the t-shirts, go to everythingiconic.store. Everythingiconic.store. Matt's going to be adding some new t-shirts over there. I believe he got a Queen Icon Legend shirt finally, which I'm very excited about. So check those out. And if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click become a patron, you could donate $4 more per month, get access to the bonus episodes. And more importantly, you're just supporting this show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Finally, go buy Fancy AF Cocktails if you want a Vanderpump Rules cocktail book. I was the co-author on it, and it's a fantastic cocktail book. It's a great coffee table book, something to put at your bar, and there's wonderful recipes. We worked really, really hard on it, so I hope you'll pick that up. And also buy Jessica Simpson's open book, because we're going to be talking about it on the podcast, whether you like it or not. Hashtag Jessica Thursdays. And with that, let's do our little cool down. So let's take a deep breath in, hold it, breathe out. Take another deep breath in, hold it, breathe out. And look, I'm talking about books a lot. Maybe just this week, find a book that you are interested in. I always find reading to be really relaxing. So maybe find a new book and dive right in. I don't know. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And I love you all so much for listening. Now let's play our little cheesy outro music and bid our adieu. I bet you do. All you have to do is try. There's no turn.